And good afternoon. Scott Spears along with you on this Tuesday, January 10th, 2017, 12:12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, joined in studio by Terry Tackett. Before we get to our two-hour program today, there was a story I'm sure a lot of you have heard about. There was a suicide yesterday at the Multi-County Correctional Center, so we have kindly extended an invitation to the director, executive director of the Multi-County Correctional Center, Dale Osborne, to come on and talk with us about this event, and he has very kindly accepted that. Dale, how are you doing?
Well, a little better than yesterday, Scott.
Yeah, can you just kind of take us through what happened?
Well, yesterday at approximately 5:33 in the morning, our officers, during their routine checks on our inmates, in which we do in intervals of less than 60 minutes, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, did find in one of our cells an inmate that had committed suicide, and it was very unfortunate.
Now, from the information we have, it was a hanging, is that correct?
I can confirm that, yes.
Yeah. How often are checks done on inmates?
Well, like I just said, I mean, we check on our inmates in intervals of less than 60 minutes. So, and that goes on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So, obviously, we're doing at least 24 checks a day on our inmates. You know, now, if you are in a special situation where you may be on suicide watch, and which this is not the case in this case. This person gave us no indication whatsoever that he was thinking in these terms. But then we would increase the times in which we monitor that individual. We would even increase it to a constant watch, maybe a 10-minute watch, 15 minutes, something to that effect. But unfortunately, in this case, we had no indication that this person was having the thoughts that he must have had.
The inmate was identified yesterday as Sean Curtis Farley, age 35, of Kenton. And from what we know, he was serving a sentence after being convicted of a misdemeanor theft in Hardin County. He had spent 20 days in the local jail and had just gotten there on December 20th. Is that correct, Dale?
Yes, got it. He came here on December 20th, and you're right. He is a what we classify here as a Hardin County inmate. As you well know, that the Multi-County Correctional Center has its name because we do serve two counties, and that is Marion County and Hardin County.
And as near as I can tell, it was not going to be an extended stay for him.
Well, no. I mean, he was going to be released in April at some point in time. And he was going to be able to go back to his, you know, family, friends, and things of that nature. So,
that being said, it seems so tragic. Any suicide would seem tragic, but for a crime like this, that he only had 4 months left to serve to do this.
Well, Scott, it's really difficult for a lot of people to understand, but when you're many of your rights and your liberties, not so much your rights, but your liberties are taken away. Your opportunity to talk and walk the streets and enjoy family and friends and have conversations. And when that is taken away from you or limited from you, it's a very difficult situation. Unfortunately, that's what jail is. And certainly, we try to provide as many opportunities in here to keep your minds occupied as we possibly can. But still, you know, the mind is a crazy thing, and it will. My mind's a crazy thing, to be honest with you. You ask my friends. I mean, I'm somewhat crazy, but you know, it will get you to the point sometimes where you're thinking of some thoughts you shouldn't be thinking of. Some of our inmates that start to feel that way will certainly bring it to the attention of us, our administrators, our mental health professional. And get some of those things aired out with them, or allow us the opportunity to at least work with them a little bit more, or keep a better eye on them. Others have those thoughts, and then we have to deal with situations like we did yesterday, and it's very unfortunate.
Now, it's also my understanding there have been four inmates that have committed suicide in the jail since it opened 16 years ago. Is that a high number, a low number? Is it normal?
You know, I mean, I talked to some of my my counterparts across the state of Ohio. I feel, you know, today it's hard to say this, but I feel good that our rates are much lower than many, many, many jails throughout the state of Ohio, based on the number of inmates we have and per capita and things of that nature. And I strongly feel that the reason that we're able to keep our numbers down is because we have a full-time mental health professional on staff, in which many jails my size throughout the state of Ohio do not have. So that's something that I feel fortunate to be able to have. Unfortunately, yesterday, you know, even that, you know, didn't help us out here any. But in jails, it's something that you concern yourself with each and every day.
It seems like a rare occurrence, four times in 16 years. What does it do to the staff, to the inmates, when you heard about it yesterday? What runs through your mind?
First thought that I have is my concern for the inmate. Is there a chance that he may survive this or she may survive this? The family. You know, notifying the family was very difficult yesterday. Talking to the family, and I'm still speaking with the family even as of today. You know, they have a lot of questions in their mind about, you know, just what happened. You know, certainly it's a big loss in their family, and it's very, very difficult on my officers as well, those that have to respond to something like this. But we don't do it very often, thank goodness. But when it happens, we respond, we follow our training, we do what we do. But it makes you also appreciate, too, those law enforcement officers or those EMS people that are out there on a daily basis having to deal with the overdoses on the streets and things of that nature, because so many people are dying in front of us, and it's very, very unfortunate. My officers they'll have a tough time dealing with it for a while, but, you know, they're strong people. They'll get through it.
Two quick questions I want to ask you, Dale. Even though, obviously, it's not preventable, is there any second guessing that goes on in your mind or your employees' minds?
Well, Scott, I think that you always are going to have doubts. You know, if I'd have turned around the corner and went that way today, or if I went this way today, or, you know, you're always questioning yourself. But as I told my staff yesterday morning, as we had a debriefing, as they were coming off a shift yesterday morning, I told them, there is nothing that any of you in this room could have done to save this individual's life. And they did everything they did, from the CPR to the you know, all their training just comes, kicks right in. And there was just nothing that they could have done differently to save this individual's life.
The first thing that popped in my mind when I heard this story, because last week, just coincidentally, we had a discussion on the station about what is it like to be in prison. A lot of people, mm-hmm. oddly enough, glamorize it. They say it's on our tax dollar, and it's mm-hmm. not a bad place to be. Just kind of in a tin-type fashion, what is it like to be out in Marion Correctional Center?
Wow.
Multi-county.
You know, I don't know if anybody that's going to glamorize this that has really done it, because it's very, very difficult. Some, you can make it what it is. You can make the best of it. You can take advantage of it. A lot of people that are out here are withdrawing from drugs, specifically heroin, or opiates of some kind. Those people, they sure feel a heck of a lot better when they leave here than they did when they got here. But it's not a place that I personally, even as the executive director of the facility, want to stay. I would hate to be here. because I'm taken away from my family, the touch of my family. You know, the hugs from your kids. Very, very difficult. Very difficult. And you know, your relationships with your girlfriends or your loved ones, and you start questioning, you know, do they still love me and all this stuff, because now I'm in jail and they're out there and they're doing what they want to do and I can't really communicate with them like I want to. So, you know, that's the tough part.
Is this in any way, being a 35-year-old young man, as this man was who committed suicide, uh-huh. We certainly don't want it to happen, but in your mind, is it any way understandable? Can you reconcile it in your mind?
Yes. And I'm looking at this individual here, which is, he's much like many, many, many of the individuals that I see here. Mr. Fowler had been coming to this facility since 2001. This was his 14th visit to this facility, for maybe even a short stay, meaning just a couple days, to something where he might be here for upwards of 6 months. But he's also been in prison a number of times as well. So I know, going back to the previous suicide that we had here a number of years ago that I was involved with, because I was here, they sometimes will just kind of give up hope, but there's no hope for them because, oh gosh, I'm back in jail again. I can't get off these drugs. And you know, the next thing, as I was speaking earlier, is that they get those thoughts start to go through their mind. They wonder why, you know, God is doing this to them, and just all sorts of things. So it's very, very difficult on many people.
Even though it is a convicted criminal, a lot of people have trouble reconciling this. Do you feel sorry for them?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, in many cases I do. I feel sorry for anybody that has to come in here, but I feel sorry for anybody that has put themselves in a position that they have to come here. They're not all bad people. You know, you walk my halls, they're respectful people in many occasions. They've just had a tough time. They've had a tough life. They've had a tough background. They've had some hard times. And, you know, they've turned to stealing or doing something that they really wish they didn't have to do, to either feed a habit or to feed their family. So you feel bad for them sometimes. Absolutely.
And I guess my final question, and again, I thank you so much for giving us this time on what I'm sure is a very difficult time out there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have asked me this morning, and I'll ask the question here. I'm not even sure if you'll be able to answer it. They say, when somebody is in prison, how do they have access to commit suicide? What do they do? Do we know in this case what happened?
I can just tell you this. Where there's a will, there's a way. And there must have been a will in this case. If you think about it, look around your office today, even if it was cleared out, and you had just your necessities, maybe your soap, your shampoo, your mattress, your blanket, and your sheet, you could really do this, Scott, if you really, really, really had your mind set on it. Somehow, some way, you could find something to harm yourself enough to hurt yourself to the point where you pass away from those.
That's
those that we identify that we've got a real serious problem with, somebody that is highly suicidal. Somebody that is that has a mental illness that they kind of scare you to the point where, hey, you know, we can't turn our back on this guy because they're going to harm themselves and things of that nature. You know, we sit with those on a constant basis. There's never an eye that is not watching them. Now, with 200 inmates in a facility, you can't have eyes on them 100% of the time. It's just impossible. So in this case, we had no indication. He'd been here a number of times. He'd been here, you know, like I said, 14 times. He'd been to prison a number of times for short, when I say short periods, sometimes we go to prison like he did. I mean, he went 2-3 years at times. And he always came through those. Maybe there was a loss in his family. Maybe he lost a girlfriend. Maybe he got bad news from somebody, which we're trying to search for. We haven't found anything to that effect yet to confirm anything. But we don't know.
So there was no note or any hint of anything?
We have not come across anything yet. We do know that he had a female that was in his life. We don't know. In talking to her, everything seemed to be fine. They didn't have a lot of communication while he was here, but there was, didn't seem to be any indication that there was anything wrong with their relationship that she's willing to reveal or that we have stumbled upon.
And as an inmate, how was he? How would you describe this gentleman?
Somewhat quiet, which is fine. Okay. There's quiet people, and then there's people like you and me that talk all the time. But then he was, he broke a couple of our rules while he was in here. We have a number of rules, obviously. You got to have rules when you're in a jail, and sometimes inmates will break our rules, so we have to discipline them for those rules. But nothing, not bad. He was not a violent person or anything to that effect whatsoever, from what we saw.
Would you consider him stable?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
It's a tough situation, and I, again, thank you so much for coming on. Dale Osborne, Multi-County Correctional Center Executive Director. Thank you so much.
Okay. You're welcome, Scott.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, we're going to bring Terry Tackett in here. It's a sad, sad story, to be sure. Terry, Dale Osborne, we thank him for coming on, but what do you think?
Sounds like it's, you know, it's not all it's kind of, you know, kind of cracked up to be. A lot of people tend to make it out.
Well, and this person was not even going to be in for the long haul. Yeah. They were going to be out in April.
Well, I wonder, too, obviously, if the holiday thing might have had something to you know.
It's hard to speculate. To speculate, because they're checked on once every hour.
Right, sure, sure.
That this had to happen fairly quickly.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, obviously, it was something that was probably pre-planned, it sounds like, maybe, or something. And
I guess
my heart goes out to the family, you know, and everything.
35 years old.
35 years old.
35 wow. years old. But, you know, I guess when you get in that type of life, it becomes difficult.
Yeah. Well, especially if you've been in there constantly, like this gentleman had.
Yeah.
Like this gentleman had, you know, had been, you know, he'd been a frequent visitor there, it sounds like, you know, and.
If anybody has any questions or comments, give us a call, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. But we certainly thank him, Dale Osborne, for coming on and sharing that. It's a sad situation because suicide, I guess there's just no hope left.
Right, right. Once you get to that point, I mean, it's pretty much. You know, I know a lot of times people have their mind set on and there's no turning back, you know, it's just.
Apparently.
So.
And I guess that's the way it goes, as they say. But there was a discussion we had last week, and I'm going to peel it off of here, is the death penalty.
Uh-huh.
Do you think it's just? We just had this conversation last week, and that's how we got into the conversation of prison, some people say, being an okay place to be.
Right.
What do you think about capital punishment? We have it in Ohio.
Yeah. I have two varying opinions on it. Number one, I believe they naturally determine the punishment. But then I think, you know, number two, it's kind of a piggyback. Is that if the crime was not, for example, taking another life or whatever, you shouldn't die for that. But
so why is there a difference?
In my opinion, there's a difference because, like I say, you chose to take a life.
Right, but why does that give... I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why does that give the government the right to take yours?
Well, is it... Maybe then it gives the family or whoever lost a level, it gives them justice. I mean,
but, see, that's the question I always have. Does it? Does it bring the person back?
No.
Does it make the event not happen?
Mm-mm.
Does it erase it from your mind?
Mm-mm.
What does it change?
Well, it changes the fact that you know that that person is in the same state of what they did to your loved one.
But they're not going to be killed that way. They're going to be killed by lethal injection.
Right, right.
Which is not, I'm guessing, as bad as being murdered as some people are.
Yeah. But I think it's just the fact that people know that the same outcome is going to happen with them.
Well, let me ask you this. Which do you think is worse? Going to prison and being put to sleep, or being kept in prison for 40 years where you can't see your relatives, where you have no life of your own,
mm-hmm.
where you can't do anything you want to do, where you can never leave the walls?
Right.
Which is worse?
Well, I think if you asked a lot, they would probably be preferred to do that, because they usually... once they're there, they don't usually care about anybody. You know, I mean, they have the mindset of being institutionalized, so they're so used to it that.
See, but I don't know that that's true, because how can you kill somebody twice? You can't. So how do they know what it's going to be like for a convicted murderer?
Well, no. What I'm saying is that person's already been to prison, you know, so therefore.
But how do you know? How do you know they have?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm just making it so, you know, that sometimes in this situation that...
But not always.
Not always, no, not always.
So in that situation, do you make an amendment and say, well, we should not execute them?
Oh, no.
So you believe the only thing you should be executed for is murder?
See, that's, yeah, I mean, that's where it gets kind of weird with me, is that I think if you take someone's life, then your life should be.
But is that the easy way out?
I guess you could look at it that way, but.
What peace of mind does that give somebody? That's my question.
Yeah, I don't know if it may lead to closure. I mean,
it never
lead to closure, but I don't know. It just kind of gives them a mindset that even if that person was in prison for 40 years, they know that would never happen again, you know, by that person.
But do you think they're happy in prison?
I don't think they're happy, but... I mean, I think that they still... I don't want to say they still have freedoms, but they still are able to do, you know, to do things, because they still have their life, so...
Well, what kind of life is it for a person in prison for murder?
Mm-hmm.
You know you're never going to get out.
Mm-hmm.
You're never going to appeal your way out.
Right.
You're going to be there for the rest of your life, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be on somebody else's dime the entire time. They're going to tell you what time to get up, what time to go to bed, what time to take a shower, what clothes you can wear,
mm-hmm.
what you have to do, when you have to do it, when you can eat. You can't go to the refrigerator when you want. You can't go to the grocery store. Can't go to family outings. A lot of times can't go to funerals of family members.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of life is that?
Well, it's not a great life, but I think it's, you know, like I say, it's one of those things that at that point, you know, people have kind of made the choice that they would sacrifice all that stuff to.
Right, but the question is do you think any murderer does it and then goes and turns themselves in? Don't you think they all think in some way they're going to get away with it? Or
sure.
Why else would they do it?
Sure, yeah, I think that they think that they're going to get away with it, but, you know, also, too, I mean, some of them do take advantage of, you know, I mean, there's a college course, you know, I mean, some people do take advantage of their time.
Well, but, yeah, but you're never going to get out.
Right, but...
You can go to college all you want. You're
right.
Never going to get to use it.
Right, right. I'm just, you know, but, I mean, for them, it's, you know, it's just...
What about a guy like Jeffrey Dahmer, who was killed by inmates, had his head bashed off the sink in the bathroom?
Right.
Now, do you think that was a happy life for him?
No, but I mean, I think almost too he had to know that something like that was gonna happen for the heinous crimes that he committed. I mean,
All I know is once the murderer is killed, then what does the family have? They don't have their person back.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the memory of that gone. I'm just trying to figure out what you gain.
Well, I would ask, I mean, what's the gain of that person being in prison?
That you know that
I mean, their family still may be able to come and visit them.
That you know for the rest of their life that they are living in a restricted, miserable life.
Mm-hmm. But that same person that they kill, you know, don't have that opportunity now.
But are they going to get the opportunity if you kill them?
No, but I mean, it's, you know, like I say, it's just a fact that you know, in my estimation, it would be justice would be served, you know, would be.
Now, why is that justice served?
Like I say, I go back to the same thing, because that's what they did to your loved one, you know, or whatever.
But how they're killed is not.
Right, it's not the same way, right, but it's, you know, the result was the.
Is it man's place to take another man's life? How is it okay to take somebody else's life if we're killing this person for taking somebody's life?
Mm-hmm.
Because chances are the executioner was not wronged by this person.
Right. Well, but I mean, it's just the fact that the person committed a crime that's the way it's punishable, so.
But has it ever stopped? I guess let's even look at it from the deterrent standpoint. Has crime gone down since we have the death penalty?
I don't think so. But
so what, if it's a fearful thing,
mm-hmm.
I imagine that's why you would do it,
yeah,
to scare people. Why hasn't crime went down?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's the fact that people are just, you know, something in their life just maybe makes them get to that point to where they think they need to kill somebody. I don't know.
It's an interesting story. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944 if you'd like to weigh in on it. Because whose choice is it to kill somebody? That's the question.
Yeah.
Is it the jury? Is it the family? Is it the judge? Is it the executioner? Whose choice is that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think ultimately in situations like that, you'll see him, you know, you'll see the jury a lot of times makes the determination on whether it's life in prison or the death penalty, so.
Well, you have to figure out, is it just? Is it just? Is it an eye for an eye? Because essentially that's what that is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right. Well, like I say, I mean, a lot of times, and, you know, and of course a lot of people make this reference, but we're a more civilized country, is that they say, well, you know, what if you were in another country and you did that, then, you know, they wouldn't even waste their time putting you in jail. You would just automatically be.
But what if the person's innocent? See, these are the other things
right,
you have to worry
right,
about.
Right, yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, they get their due process. I mean, you know, that's.
What if the person's innocent? What if you execute the wrong person? What if.
Which that's happened.
It has happened. So how do you weed that out?
Well, that's the thing. Hopefully you have good, you know, good detective work and good, you know, and you've done all your homework and things and, you know, things like that.
Well, it's an interesting conversation to have. 740-383-9944 if you'd like to weigh in on anything here. President Barack Obama gives his last speech tonight. He'll be leaving office in 10 days. When you look back on the presidency of Barack Obama, how do you rate it?
I rate him up there pretty high because, I mean, a lot of things he was able to accomplish, excuse me, even though he didn't sometimes have a lot of help, you know, accomplishing things, he accomplished quite a bit.
What do you consider his accomplishments?
His accomplishments were, the Affordable Health Act care, you know, or Affordable Health Care Act. I think that was it got 5 million people or so insured. You know, now of course there's a lot of people that'll say there are high premiums and things like that, but I mean it was able to get 5 million people insured, so I think that's a big success. And he was able to get gay marriage, you know, which was a big issue for some people. I mean,
what about Osama bin Laden. He captured and killed.
Got bin Laden. That was a good, you know, one of the worst terrorists that we've ever seen in.
What about the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan?
Yeah, he brought a lot of the troops home, you know, which he said he was going to do. And so,
is this a president in your lifetime who lived up to his campaign promises?
I think for the most part he did. There was some, of course, that he wasn't able to fulfill, and I don't know, you know, you don't want to lay the blame on anybody, but of course there was some stuff he didn't have help with, you know, and things like that. And
what, in your opinion, is his biggest regret, biggest mistake, biggest thing he didn't get done?
I don't know if it was in the works or not, but I think one of the biggest things that he wanted that he didn't get done was the that college bill, I think, that he was trying to.
Well, did you hear this? You know, Obama did put the executive order to give us some gun control.
Okay.
You know, remember that? A little bit
of gun control here? Yeah.
Trump says that's one of the first things he's going to do is get rid of that executive order.
So,
how do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, you know, by repealing that, once again, I'm okay with repealing anything, just as long as you have a better plan to replace it with, you know, and I haven't heard a better plan to replace it.
Do we need any type of gun control?
Oh, certainly we do. Absolutely, you know.
And to the people who say, people kill people, guns don't kill people.
Well, I don't know if I necessarily agree with, you know, with that, because, I mean, just watching some different things on TV, I mean, just some of these guns that they're using are just unbelievable.
Do you have any worry that, because the confirmation hearings are going on right now for Donald Trump, do you have any worry that a lot of his cabinet members are all billionaires?
That kind of worries me a little bit, you know, is that by being billionaires, I don't know if their best interest of the people would be, you know, it seems like they may be more worried about their finances and or their financial situation than what's best for the people.
Now, Jeff Sessions is up today, who's trying to get the position of Attorney General. Do you think he'll get it through?
He may, but it's going to be rough. I know a lot of people that's not going to vote for him, so he may get through there, but it's going to be tough for him.
It's unprecedented today that Cory Booker, the Democratic senator, and John Lewis, who was on this show late last year, were testifying against him because of his civil rights violations, which is why he didn't get a very similar job in the 1980s.
I see. Yeah, I'll be honest. I don't really know a lot about him, just bits and pieces that I've read here and there, but I didn't know about any of those civil rights violations that he had. I wasn't.
Do you think that Democrats have a right to stop these people?
Certainly, I think they do, because you know, if their beliefs and everything aren't the same, you know, I mean.
Let's take a call. Hey, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'd been earlier, but I was doing my dishes.
Well, I hope you got them done.
You have to set priorities.
That's what you do. You got to have priorities in life.
I think what's interesting about Booker saying he's going to testify there, that is his entrance into the next election, I'm sure.
I think so.
Yeah. He's done some good things. My daughter was a big fan, and for some reason, she lives in Jersey. And for some reason, she backed off. I don't know why. I'll have to quiz her about that a bit. But it doesn't sound like this fellow from Georgia is going to make it.
And this was the first guy to, Sessions was the first guy to back Donald Trump in the election.
Yeah. Now, another thing, a lot of his has to do with the earlier choices that he made. And some previous senators and all, even Strom Thurmond, who was he was a Klaner. And yet, at the end of this thing, he seemed a lot more liberal. And, you know, some others have done. Byrd was much the same way, a member of the Ku Klux Klan. But, you know, they sort of saw the light and changed their views with a little maturity.
Well, I think being in the Senate is not an issue. I think being Attorney General, the nation's top law official, is the problem.
Mm-hmm. You're going to have a tough time finding someone from a liberal standpoint that Trump would want to put in there.
Well, that could be. I don't know if they're looking for a liberal, because I don't think really anybody in his cabinet's liberal. I think they're just looking for somebody who does not have a history of some of the things that Sessions has.
Yeah, but like I say, some people have outgrown their younger, dumber days. I did want to comment on the death penalty thing.
Oh, go ahead.
And, you know, I've said this several times, that it is such nonsense to do that. That guy, what was his name, Dale something or other?
Dale Osborne.
Was on death row, and another guy finally confessed to it.
Oh, yeah.
He could have been done in.
Could have been murdered.
He had nothing to do with it. And this is one bad thing about Bush when he was the governor of Texas. They had a guy in 60 Minutes. The guy was innocent. This old lady that couldn't see the wall identified him, and that's what it was based on. They went ahead and executed him. He was undoubtedly innocent. I always remember that tale about, England used to have a lot of executions for minor things. And it got so bad there that they had one 9-year-old girl that was so small that they had to grab her ankles and pull her down to hang her. And to me, that pretty much identifies, punishment of that variety. It's not needed.
Even if the crime the person committed was taking somebody's life, I mean.
They always say, use a Bible thing, that an eye for an eye.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are a couple other. I don't usually quote the Bible, but there are a couple others, and it's. Justice is mine, saith the Lord. And also, judge not that ye be not judged. Again, the other's never going to be reset, redone. We don't have instant replays or backups on our lives. And it couldn't be changed. A dead person's going to remain dead. And just to kill someone else, like Dalai Lama said, he's in prison. You've got him. He's not going to hurt anybody. He can't do any more damage. What's the point? Why put yourself in the most of your civilized nations don't execute anybody anymore.
I just don't know from a family standpoint, though. I just wonder what the family...
What's it going to help the family? It's done. It's over. Your kid gets killed in a car crash. It's over. It can't be retrieved. And if all you're looking for is revenge, that's not revenge. That's not helping anybody.
Right.
Not making anybody feel better. And the family of the killer, they're going to feel pretty bad too. And you haven't done anything but hurt other people.
Your family was hurt as well. I mean, that's...
Julius and Ethel Rosenberg, they were executed for supposedly being a spy for the Russians and giving them the atom bomb. Well, they told their kids just the day of the execution, we didn't do it, we're totally innocent. And no one really knows whether that's true or not, but again, what was to be gained by doing this?
Like I say, that's what I said. I'm kind of all over the place here. I just think that, from a family standpoint, I just think that it may give them more closure. I don't know.
I don't think there's any closure. He's still going to be dead. Every year at the anniversary of his death, you'll probably have a little prayer meeting or something, but it's not going to help anything.
I don't know.
The family hate him. Put him in prison and let him know the misery of being tied up like a dog.
What do you think of when Trump comes in 10 days, the executive order on gun control will go away?
I don't remember what that entitled. I mean, what all was in that.
I think it was basically that background checks were extended. I believe that's the one thing he was able to get pushed through.
I can't imagine anyone with any good sense objecting to that.
Well, Trump has already said that's one of the things he's going to do away with. He said anybody in the...
He said a lot of crap that'll never happen.
This is a good point, because what is he going to do? We're going to find out in 10 days.
We don't know.
But do you think he's going to repeal Obamacare? Because I was reading an article in the New Yorker this morning that says now they don't have the votes because they need 51 votes to repeal it. Mm-hmm. And because they do not have a replacement plan in place, that three senators, matter of fact, there's a total of five, but Republican senators have said, whoa, wait a second here, and one of them being Rob Portman,
absolutely should not rush to judgment there. In other words, once they've come up with something that is going to improve it, maybe cut some of those costs to the individuals down a bit, and it still allows people to have insurance. Well, because if not, they're going to be still going to the hospitals.
Well, all they've got to lose is three. And Rand Paul has already said that if they do not have a plan in place to replace it with immediately, he's not voting. So there's one.
None of them should ever vote for it until there is a replacement.
Well, the three that are not for sure and have said so are Portman, Rand Paul, and there's another one. I think he's from Tennessee. But also Trump has said the same thing, and he gets a vote in this. And if he could turn into a vote against it, why do you think that they don't have a plan in place? They're already trying to repeal it. The votes are...
Theoretically, they do. I think Ryan said that there is a plan ready that they haven't presented.
Well, why haven't they presented
whether it? Whether they do or not, we don't know.
Well, why wouldn't they present it before they'd repeal it?
You would hope they would.
You would think.
I hope a good sense prevails there.
Do you think we have a good government right now, all three branches, Republican?
No, there's too much diverse opinions there, and no one is going to sit down, talk to the others, and compromise. If there's no compromise, there won't be a government.
I want to ask you something here, because this is interesting. I was watching the Bernie Sanders town hall last night on CNN. And somebody
be boring.
Well, it wasn't that bad. It was only an hour. And one of the people in the audience asked him about, by the way, running in 2020, and he did not say no. He said, "We'll see what." He said,
"I read that on CNN News."
He said, "We'll see what happens." But the other thing out of it was, I do think he'll run again, by the way. And the other thing is that he was asked about the Supreme Court choice, and he said that what they did to President Obama was horrible, that they would not hear Garland's, they wouldn't even have sessions to discuss, let alone confirm. So he said that the Senate Democrats have already said that they feel whoever Trump puts up there, if he's not a moderate, that they're just not going to have the hearings. Now, they do have the power to do that. That's one thing the minority party does have the power to do. They can hold off having hearings on somebody. So they just might want to keep the court 4-4. Do you think that's good?
I don't know it'd work to their advantage particularly.
As far as?
As far as the decisions. In other words, you're going to have a lot of decisions that never get made then. We've already had a couple that have gone there and they end up in a 4-4 deadlock. So that's no decision. So you have to wrestle with the same problems again.
But do you think, well, obviously the Republicans did it because they felt they were going to get a liberal, and the liberals are doing it because they feel they're going to get a conservative. Do you think this could force Trump's hand into putting a moderate on there that the Senate would confirm?
What would be interesting, although he'll never do it, was to, the guy that was presented, I forget his name, I forget a lot of things anymore, but put him up. The guy that was and said,
Garland.
Okay, now we'll look at it.
Well, why do you think they
again,
did?
That would be such a sign that they're willing to work with the other side. His biggest thing and the best thing he could possibly do is give in on some of this stuff.
Do you think that's in
I don't know if he will.
Do you think that's in his DNA?
I don't know that it has to be, because I don't think he's going to be running the country. It's going to be Pence.
Well, I don't know. I'm starting to think it's going to be Jared Kushner, his son-in-law, who just took a position in the senior staff.
I think he's going to depend on him for a lot of his decisions.
Yeah, but do you know that, I did not realize how deep this goes. You know this hotel down the road, which they're going to keep, apparently, that if a foreign diplomat stays there and it's paid with foreign money, that that's illegal under the Monuments Clause, and Trump could be removed from office for that. I think this speech Trump gives tomorrow morning of how he's going to divest himself from all his businesses is going to be very fascinating.
It'll be interesting. I'm sure we'll see a lot of lawyers spending a lot of money trying to clear some of this stuff.
It's going to be interesting. Hey, thanks for calling in, and stay tuned.
Okay.
And if anybody else has an opinion, 740-383-9944. What do you think about this hotel and the old post office in Washington?
I didn't hear about that. I mean, as far as that particular thing you just brought up there about being paid for with foreign money.
Do you think it's going to be Pence running the White House or Kushner?
Oh, I don't.
But do you think anybody can tell Donald Trump what to do?
No, I think ultimately he's gonna do what he wants to do, and you know.
But do you think that was the ultimate downfall of Richard Nixon, and could possibly be the ultimate downfall of Donald Trump?
Yeah, could be. Yeah.
You know, Richard Nixon was paranoid. What do you think Donald Trump's paranoid?
Well, I don't think he's paranoid, but I think he's a little. I don't know what word is I want to use, but I think he's a little.
Oh, by the way, just here's a little side note. Kim Jong-il said he's got a nuclear weapon and he's ready to fire it.
Oh, boy. Thank you.
Yeah, so there we go. At least he always lets you know.
Yeah, thank you for that. So the negotiations better go well with...
Now, how do you think when you get Kim Jong-il and Donald Trump or his Secretary of State, who's up for confirmation tomorrow together, how do you think that's going to go?
That's... Like I say, I think... I hope it goes well, but it sounds like if one thing it goes wrong, then...
Do you think we're in any danger?
Oh, I don't think so. Maybe as a, you know, but it just... I don't know. It's hard to explain.
What's the future? 10 days now, the big 10-day...
Yeah.
10-day march.
Right. Well, the future is that... I mean, hopefully we're headed on the right track as far as... You know, bringing jobs and everything back, but I just don't know as a country if we're ever going to be united again.
Oh, I think we'll come together on something. Yeah. Do you think the Democrats should hold off on the nominee since the Republicans did it to Obama's Supreme Court nomination?
Sure.
Yeah. I tell you, these Chuck Schumer's and Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren's, they're tough.
They're tough. Yeah, they're. I think they've had enough, you know, and they're fed up.
You think Bernie's going to run?
It sounds like
he didn't say no.
Sounds like maybe he might
did
have
not
a,
say no.
He might have another run in him, so.
He'll be 78 at the time.
78. Bernie.
Still 4 years older than the other guy, I guess. Hey, stay tuned to WWGH Radio. We're coming back with much more. A whole nother hour and your phone calls at 740-383-9944. Stay tuned. We will be back in about 10 minutes. Don't change that dial for love nor money. You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio, Talking Place. For legendary owner of the Marion Grocery Store,